As for our practice at this point, we read the scripture for today. And so let me do that for us. We're reading from Proverbs chapter 17, verse 22. A joyful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones. This is the word of the Lord. Well, we are coming to the end of our sermon series, our spring sermon series in Proverbs. I was hoping for a little bit more enthusiasm or someone saying, "Oh, really? We're done? Oh, wow. Oh, that hurts me, man. Ow." All right. So we've been going through our sermon series in Proverbs, and we've just been selecting a few different verses. As we have engaged in the topic of wisdom in an age of AI. That's what we're in right now. It's the fourth version of our age of information. And so now the sociologists have termed this season that we're in is an age of AI. I do, as I've said before, I hope that this has been an enriching and not only informational, but inspirational time that we spent as we consider the source of our wisdom for life and ministry, our friendships, and our emotional well-being. So, today we're obviously touching on the topic of joy, and as we can see in the verse I just read, the writer, which we assume is Solomon, stresses the importance of joy in our lives, particularly the lives of God followers like us who follow God and through His Son Jesus. So don't have to show me by a show of hands or anything like that, but let me just put this out there. On a scale of 1 to 10, are you experiencing joy or feeling joyful today? So just rate yourself, right? You don't have to tell me where you're at. But, you know, it's up to you to decide. Well, the author of Proverbs paints a very vivid picture of the transformative power of joy. And just these few words, he says, a joyful heart is like good medicine. A healing balm, that's the translation that's used. And that this balm brings refreshment to the soul and vitality to the body. The question for us today is, what exactly is joy and why is it so essential? According to the 2024 World Happiness Report, if we are, as it turns out, not very happy people globally, especially among our young people, our youth and young adults. They're not very happy right now. And this is not just in North America, but globally. Now, I think we can kind of figure out what these factors are that are contributing to this feeling of unhappiness, just in general, but also as it impacts our youth and young adults today. They're being highly stimulated by their constant connections on social media, texting, emails. You know, we talked about that last time. They're anxious about our economy and definitely are anxious about climate change. And they're also experiencing a high level of loneliness. Now, despite these factors, young people aged 15 to 24 still report an improved life satisfaction over older adults. However, this is not an indication of happiness. They're just basically saying that if they were to consider all aspects of their life, they would say, yeah, actually, it's okay. Life is actually pretty good, even though they feel these or they have these feelings of unhappiness. To address our unhappiness, there was an article written recently that was titled, How AI Can Make Us Happy and why that's a big deal. And so the article goes on to say, AI is actually helping us as a society understand the science of happiness. Yes, there's actually a thing called the science of happiness. And AI is helping them, these researchers and scientists, to be able to sort through all the data that is being collected, because as humanly possible, we can't really, we're limited in how quickly we can sort through all of this data. So AI is helping us to do that. And so what has happened with this science of happiness and the data that's collected, it then leads to very practical applications. As you can see up there, there's a camera and a blank room. And basically what it is it helps you through the camera in your phone, microphones in your phone or other devices, sensors that are built in, that help to determine your mood and then alter the environment around you in order to improve it. Now, this either can be a virtual experience or a physical experience. Essentially, you can integrate AI into your life so much so that when you walk into your home, it can immediately sense how you are feeling as you walk in the room, and it will change the music automatically. So if you walk in and you're, you know, feeling really sad, all of a sudden there's like joyful music, you know, and it gets you kind of moving, right? It will also sense perhaps it needs to change the lighting in the room, and it will change the light in the room. And then it can alter the temperature. If you're too hot, it'll change it to cold. If you're cold, it'll change it to hot. All this without you ever having to touch a single button or a dial. And I mean, I don't know about you, how you feel about this, but it will even open the blinds in your windows to let the sun shine in. I think that's pretty cool. That I could go for. You know, that I walk into the room and the blinds just open, like, wow. But really, what we're talking about is using this AI to essentially alter our moods through our environment. The other way that it's also being integrated into our lives is the creation of AI-powered robots. And one of the such robot is this thing called the pararobotic seal. So it looks like a seal, like a pup seal. And it's very cute, very engaging. And it basically is built as a companion robot and is designed to calm and elicit emotional responses in hospital patients, nursing homes, and other therapeutic environments. So this is how AI is being integrated into our lives today in order to help us in developing our happiness or helping us through the science of happiness. So going back to our question, while these innovations help us to improve our moods, what really is the difference between joy and happiness, which is what we're really talking about today? Well, we turn to Merriam-Webster's dictionary, which defines happiness as a state of well-being and contentment, a pleasurable or satisfying experience. Whereas joy is specifically stated as an emotion evoked by well-being, success, or good fortune, or by the prospect of possessing what one desires. In short, happiness is a state of being, while joy is a feeling. Well, apparently, I guess, Christians, God followers, must not be feeling a lot of joy, because recently, in an article entitled The Kiss of Joy that was published by Faith Today, it's a bi-monthly magazine that's put out by the Evangelical Free Church of Canada, not Evangelical Free Church of Canada, Evangelical Fellowship of Canada. And this is so recent. It literally just came out in the May-June 2024 issue. And the author writes this: "My foray into joy began when joylessness was unveiled and my longing for joy was rekindled. This longing is universal and indiscriminate. We're likely to experience this longing as much as we experience joy itself. If we understand this longing, we might mistakenly suppress it. I have learned this longing is not meant to be eased, and the ache does not need to be feared. In Ecclesiastes, we read that God has lodged eternity in our hearts. Ecclesiastes 3:11. Our longing for joy is evidence of this truth. It's an eternal longing and ache. In the same way, joy is an eternity-seeking emotion. Because even when we experience joy, we are often left more in touch with our longing for it. We want the experience of joy to continue, to last, to defy time forever. In this way, joy and our longing for it orient us towards eternity. Sounds like a lot, and I get it. But as I interpret this article, I think what he's trying to say is that essentially, we find ourselves, even as Christ followers, that perhaps joy is not something we feel we can experience in this life, but rather it's something we feel that we can only experience after we're in God's presence. But yet, I think what's even more concerning to me is the fact that there is this feeling, or observation perhaps, that Christ's followers, God's people, are not experiencing his joy. And that is, I think, a concern for all of us to think about. Because as this passage or as this article introduces this idea, joy is what we're created for. We are to experience joy. That's how God made us. You are to experience joy. And that this joy that we're seeking isn't just a fleeting one or just a short feeling, short time feeling while we're here on earth, but it's something else. It's a joy that we want to experience all of our lives, for the rest of our lives, here and in the ever after. You know, God talks about joy a lot in Scripture. Here are some examples. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 to 18. Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Philippians 4:4. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. And I need to hear someone say, amen. Amen. Amen, right? Rejoice in the Lord always. Not be sad all the time, but we'll get to there in a second. When anxiety was great within me, your consolation brought me joy. In other words, God's consoling presence brought this psalmist joy. Habakkuk, I love how Habakkuk writes this. Though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crops fail, and the fields produce no food, and there are no sheep in the pen, and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God and my Savior. Are we able to say that today as well? That when all has been stripped away, when all of the things in our lives that give us meaning, purpose, security, all of that is gone, are we able to stand with Habakkuk and say, I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. Joy transcends mere happiness. It is not dependent on external circumstances, but flows from a wellspring within. Joy is a quiet assurance that we are loved, valued, and connected to something greater than ourselves. It is the profound sense of peace that surpasses all understanding, even in the midst of life's storms. In contrast to the healing power of joy, which is the second part of the verse also speaks of a crushed spirit that dries up the bones. A crushed spirit symbolizes the weight of despair, disappointment, and hopelessness that can afflict our hearts. And I'm sure we all have at one point in our lives, or maybe more, have experienced a crushed spirit. It is the burden of carrying the pain of brokenness, whether caused by personal struggles, relational conflicts, or the harsh realities of this world. You know, the best personification of biblical joy is the story of Job. He was stripped of every good thing he had on this earth, but he never lost his faith in God. Job knew his experience was unfair, and he did not sugarcoat his pain. His conversations with God were frank, and yet he never forgot who God was. And I think that's such an important point for us to understand. That yes, life is hard, life is difficult, and yet we can definitely go to God and say to God, why? Why is this happening? Have you forgotten me? Why do I feel like you're punishing me? But yet, we never forget who God is. Job actually says, the Spirit of God has made me. The breath of the Almighty gives me life. For Job, joy is still rooted in who God is. And I have a theory about why that is at the end of this message. Our Father is fair, compassionate, and all-knowing. His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. And we are wise, going back again to this idea of wisdom, to pray for our plans to align with His, and not just to ask God to bless our intentions. Job possessed the wisdom to know God's character and the strong faith to hold on to what he knew to get him through. And I think we need to reclaim that again, this wisdom to know God's character and have a strong faith to hold on to what we know will get us through. Now again, I want to be obviously brutal and say, you know, it's not about be happy, green it and bear it Christianity, all right? Let's not do that, because we definitely, we do that as people, and we feel that we have to hold all of our struggles and the weight of grief and loss and failure and all that and come to church on the Sunday morning and just smile and say, yes, I'm good. No, that's not what we're talking about here. Yes, life is hard. We do carry weights of grief and loss and failure. So what do we do? How do we experience moments of joy? How do we experience joy in light of this passage today? Well, obviously, there are some certain ways we can do this. And as evidenced already by the scripture, that the journey towards joy, the pursuit of joy, obviously begins with a conscious decision to seek it, regardless of our circumstances. It is a choice we make each day. It is a choice to embrace gratitude, practice mindfulness, and cultivate a spirit of resilience. So instead of bemoaning how life is so difficult, we change our perspective by saying, you know, we allow God to speak into our lives, to direct us to Scripture, to help us to change our perspective that maybe life isn't really all that difficult, but really, you know, there's other things that we can be thankful for. That we can come to God and say, this is what's going on, help me, Lord, to understand. And if I can't understand, then help me to have peace. You know, gratitude is such an important thing in this pursuit of joy. Gratitude is a powerful antidote to despair as it shifts our focus from what is lacking to what is abundant in our lives. When we cultivate an attitude of thankfulness, even in the midst of trials, we open ourselves to receive the blessings that surround us. So instead of saying what we don't have, we appreciate more of what we do have. And of course, joy is also found in the simple moments of life, in the laughter of loved ones, the beauty of nature, and the grace of God's presence. By embracing these moments with open hearts, we invite joy to permeate every aspect of our being. But again, it also feels like it's a lot of us doing a lot of the work in order to be able to experience joy. And I like to present a different view, and I think I can and help us to understand Job's circumstance, that despite all that he experienced, he is still able to experience joy. And I think hopefully this makes sense. As you all are aware, my daughter's name is Abigail. You all know that. That's great. Do you guys know what Abigail means in Hebrew? No? Abigail's name actually means father's joy. Abba Gael. So if you meet somebody whose name is Gail, her name is joy. Abba is father. So Abba Gael, father's joy. When Shari and I were praying and looking for a name for Abby, we just felt led to this particular name in the Bible. And partly because it was like, it felt like it was an old name. Like nobody, you don't hear a lot of Abigails, but in 2008, it wasn't exactly on the top 10 most, you know, picked names for that year. Of course, what happens when you name your kid after, you know, you think nobody else has a name like that? You start meeting kids everywhere that have a name like hers. And you're like, what the? I think in Abigail's kindergarten class, how many girls were named Abigail that year? Four in her class. And so they had to go by their last names. Abigail L, Abigail J, Abigail... And so at the end, we're like, it's just Abby, okay? Abby makes a lot of sense. And even still today, she gets upset when she goes to Starbucks because they're like, they never get my name right when they spell Abby, because it's always spelled with an A-B-B-Y instead of A-B-B-I-E. And I say, well, that's because they spell it the American way. Sorry, did I make a jab at the Americans? Sorry. Okay, I shouldn't have done that. Anyway, so, yes, her name is Father's Joy. And it, obviously for me, it was a very meaningful name because she really was my joy, is my joy. Because Shari and I had tried so hard on to have a child and then thinking we wouldn't have a child that God blessed us with one. And so she really, really does... if she really did bring a lot of joy to my heart. Because with her coming into being, she made me a father, which is a role I've always wanted to have. And as she has grown up, she has continued to live up to her name. And I know this sounds really odd, but her middle name is Joy, too. So it's Abigail Joy Lau. So it's Father's Joy, Joy Lau. So you can tell we really like that word in her name. And she truly has and lives up to her name. She's a joyful person, and we just enjoy her as a kid. And I was joking with Shari. I said, imagine if we had another child, you know, and what if that child ended up being the Antichrist or something, you know? Because you get one child who's joyful and the other one is like really bad or something. I don't know. Anyhow, I'm just glad God gave us one. So, Abigail was one of David's wives. You can actually read her story in 1 Samuel 25. At the beginning of the story, Abigail is the wife of a wealthy man named Nabal, who actually isn't a very nice person. He's not a very good husband either. Very cruel to his people, very cruel to his family. They lived in a town called Maon near the Sinai Peninsula. Abigail was an intelligent and beautiful woman who saved her husband and his household from David's army after Nabal rudely refused to help when David asked. Abigail meets him on the road as David is getting ready to come and basically attack Nabal and his and the town. And so she meets him there as David's on his warpath, and offers David and his men a lavish meal. And then after that, she then pleads with David to show mercy on her husband, Nabal, saying, please pay no attention, my lord, to that wicked man, Nabal. He is just like his name. His name means fool, and folly goes with him. And I think we see that in Proverbs a lot too, this use of the theme of foolishness. And so we have this juxtaposition between Abigail and Nabal, a man who is, as she describes, wicked and foolish, and yet here is Abigail, whose name is Father's Joy, and she embodies wisdom. Her wisdom helps them, because of her wisdom, David does not attack the town, doesn't kill anybody, and what ends up happening is that Abigail goes and tells her husband, tells Nabal, and then what happens is 10 days later, he is struck down by God, and he dies. David then takes on Abigail as his wife. Obviously, we feel badly for Nabal, probably not what the kind of outcome we had hoped for his foolish decision. And we do rejoice for Abigail because she did experience joy in the end. We can only imagine that what she had in her marriage was an abusive one. But interestingly, when you read that passage, she was, as I said, living out her name. The joy that she experienced was one because she had responded righteously to the situation. She embodied wisdom. She brought joy to her father. And I think that's an important thing for us to note, that her actions, her wisdom, did bring joy to her father. But more importantly, I think it's because of the fact that God rejoiced in her. He rejoiced in Abigail because he made her, and secondly, because she chose to live righteously as he taught them. And I think that's an important message for us to hear today. That as we pursue joy, it's not so much about all the things I talked about earlier, you know, having gratefulness, that's great. Having an attitude of greatness, a gratefulness is good. Making that choice, having a perspective change, that's all good. I think for the Christian, for the Christ follower, our joy begins, first of all, in the fact that God rejoices in you. Did you hear that? God rejoices in you. Another way to say that is God delights in you. Abigail is a very, I think, hopefully, my daughter, okay? Not Bible, in the Bible. My daughter is, I think, a very, she knows she's loved, she's confident, and she can exude this joy because she knows I delight in her. And so as a result, she's able to experience joy and able to have that joy poured out onto her friends and her neighbors and others. And I think this is such good news for us today, because I think sometimes part of the issue is we feel like God is not happy with us all the time, and that he's just waiting to punish us and waiting for us to fail, that somehow we have to do all that we have to do in order to earn his love, earn his joy, earn his blessing. But this is the good news, I believe. This is the good news for us today. And if you've never heard this in your life, even if you've been a Christian all your life, is the fact that our God, the God in whom you believe in, rejoices in you, and he delights in you. And when we live out our purposes and use our gifts and talents as he has designed us, for his glory, we also experience his joy. And that's it. And so I invite us now, and I'm going to pray for us as we invite Jen to come forward and lead us into our next phase of our worship service. Father God, we truly are grateful this morning for being able to be here with your people in worship of you. Lord, we know that in this world, happiness and joy are difficult to come by, and that while we can do all that we can on our own, in our own strength perhaps, in our own knowledge, in our own wisdom, to try to experience happiness and joy, the true joy that we are really seeking is a joy that is not just meant for this life, but one that also extends into the ever after. That our joy to being in your presence with you. But Lord, also, we recognize that while we're here on earth, we can experience joy. And that joy, again, doesn't come from our own wellspring, but rather it comes from knowing and experiencing that, Lord, that you delight in us, that you find joy in us. And when we find joy in us, we also experience joy. So, Father, help us, Lord, today to remember this truth in our hearts, that despite our circumstances and perhaps whatever lies that come into our minds, that we are not loved, we're not worth it, we could never deserve, we're not deserving of your joy and happiness. Those are all lies, Lord, lies of the devil, lies of society, that you are indeed a God who cares, and you are a God who indeed delights in us. So let us, Lord, be able to experience this delight, experience your joy, and may that joy exude from us to all around us, for those who are feeling lonely, discouraged. Lord, let us be the people that help others to experience your joy today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.